Welcome back to Take On. Today, we are talking about your first year in business. I feel like during COVID, entrepreneurship became very glorified, especially with the rise of the personal brand. We see a lot of carefully crafted origin stories, a lot of polished websites and social profiles. And there's this assumption that at some point you will arrive to that place of being clear, confident, and ready. But behind the scenes, most of us, including these people who have these very carefully curated online presences, are really assembling the plane mid-flight, especially in year one. So today I want to have an honest conversation about what your first year in business typically entails. And this is not to discourage you, but just to normalize the reality of it all, because the learning curve isn't a flaw in the process. It is the process. Let's begin with the most persistent myth, the idea that readiness is a prerequisite for success. And I've lived a few different versions of this, so I'm going to walk you through how they all looked for me. My first business, Remint, was a clothing rental platform that partnered with luxury consignment stores. And I spent over a year, close to $50,000 investment in the business, refining the infrastructure, the legal framework, the technology, and it was meticulous. And on paper, it was perfectly polished and ready. And then the pandemic arrived and the entire project was paused indefinitely. Months later, Oko Strategy began, and with none of that precision, because it started as a freelance project. And we treated it as temporary because at the time we thought that it would be. So there was, in the beginning, no polished branding, no legal entity in place, no formal roadmap. And ironically, the business that we treated as temporary has evolved into a business that still exists today, years later. So now, as we prepare to launch Oko Approved, our marketplace to connect freelance marketers with clients, we're approaching it differently. We're being very structured and strategic, but we're also very scrappy and fully aware that we'll be launching it long before it feels perfect. So that's kind of where I've landed with this in between of the two approaches. Number two, early clients may not reflect your vision. So this one is another common misconception among service-based businesses, and that is that your first clients should be a reflection of your ultimate ambition. In reality, your earliest business often takes shape through proximity. So our first clients at Oko Strategy came directly from our existing networks. It provided immediate revenue and built credibility, but it also inadvertently positioned us within the fashion and beauty space, since that's where a lot of our connections came from. So we had to be intentional in diversifying our client base and be proactive. For us, something that really helped us in the early days was offering pro bono strategic work to businesses to diversify our client roster and get some great testimonials from the early days. So just keep in mind that the first year is not about perfect alignment. It's about establishing proof of concept. You want to really just get your business out there, get feedback, see what's working and see what's not, and then pivot from there. Number three, pricing will challenge your sense of worth. Pricing is arguably one of the most intellectually and emotionally complex aspects of early stage business. Because in year one, most of us price based on fear, not strategy. So we anchor our rates to the perceived tolerance of the market, often at our own expense. And we did exactly that. We met prospective clients where they were, not where our business needed to be. And this became a tricky growing pain when we began to hire to offload some of the work that we were doing. But because we had accepted these contracts with low rates or terms that were too flexible or just didn't make sense for the business structure, it became more difficult for us to hire, and we were kind of stuck in the nitty-gritty day-to-day work because of the way that we structured things. So although it helped us establish relationships, it also created operational strain. So at that kind of sticky growing point, we overcorrected in the pursuit of scalability by adopting rigid pricing structures that alienated otherwise aligned clients because we were really rigid about the packages, what they included, the timelines, and the pricing. So today we approach pricing with both data and discernment. We analyze market rates, project complexity, and internal capacity, but we also maintain a sense of flexibility that, I as a business owner would hope for when looking for a new partner to collaborate with. In the beginning, pricing can feel like a direct reflection of your worth, but with experience, you recognize that it's simply an economic mechanism and it can and should evolve. If I could distill the most jarring realization from our years in business, it's this: the highs and lows rarely arrive in isolation. More often than not, they unfold simultaneously. And I experienced this vividly on a work trip to Washington, D.C. and New York. We were there for a major client production, and it was a really big milestone, the type of moment you envision when you start a business. And we're so excited. And yet during that exact week, we lost over half of our client roster and had more than $25,000 immobilized in a payment system. And I was spending my nights awake with anxiety, basically all night, panic attacks, crippling anxiety. And then by 5 a.m. had to be up and getting ready for the shoot and putting on, you know, a smiling face and acting like there was nothing going on. And I would say that this is not an outlier. It's actually the pattern. Business ownership requires the capacity to hold conflicting realities at once: optimism and fear, growth and loss, confidence and self-doubt. And I feel like this kind of ties into this theme of imposter syndrome. And I think that imposter syndrome peaks when your ambitions surpass your experience. And the only real antidote is time and intentional skill building. So identifying gaps that amplify your doubt, whether that's technical, knowledge, communication, or presence, and then address them systematically. Number 5, evolution is inevitable and essential. Your first iteration of your business will not be your final one, and that doesn't reflect a failure of vision, but it's a reflection of your growth. OCO today bears little resemblance to the version that we first launched. Our service offerings have evolved greatly. Our client profiles have shifted. Even our internal structure has transformed. But clinging to your earliest version out of loyalty or fear inhibits your ability to respond to new opportunities and market realities. And I have definitely said this before, I may have even already said it in this episode, but I think it really ties back to this idea of being dedicated to the problem that you're looking to solve, not the product. And finally, the most understated but critical truth is that the quiet wins matter. I think that when you're following these thought leaders and business owners on social, you see the big wins, but there's a lot of milestones that are a lot less visible. And I think that it's really important to acknowledge them too. So revenue is measurable, milestones are visible, but the foundational progress is often internal. Year one is a year where you build a lot of resilience. You learn to set boundaries. You develop the discernment to say no, even when it feels risky. And that consistency compounds the emails you send, the relationships you nurture, the reputation you're establishing. All of it accrues quietly until one day you're hitting those more tangible milestones. And I mean, it all happens interchangeably. I think it's this constant evolution. But I know that within OCO, there's been times where we're hitting milestone after milestone, those visible ones, the revenue numbers, the client numbers, the case studies. And then there's also been times in the business where it feels like we're accomplishing nothing at the time because there's not a box to check or a reward to get for it. But when we look back on those times, we recognize that that's when we were really, really growing as business owners and as individuals in general. So when you are in one of those periods, reflect on how you are growing and changing and give yourself a pat on the back, because I think that those are the times where we don't acknowledge ourselves, and they're often the times that make the most long-term impact. All of this to say that if you're navigating your first year or preparing to, recognize that uncertainty is not a sign of inadequacy. It's evidence that you're building in real time, and the process is often unpolished. The learning curve is steep, But that doesn't mean you're behind. It just means you're figuring it all out. Thanks for listening to Take On. If this episode brought you value, please share it with someone else that's in their first year, because no one builds in isolation.